So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 19, verse 117. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, by entering the heart of Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu empowered him to ascertain properly the conclusions of all truths. He made him an experienced devotee whose decisions correctly agreed with the verdicts of the disciplic succession. Thus, Sri Rupa Goswami was personally empowered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. The principles of devotional service are only apparently under the jurisdiction of material activity. To be rightly guided, one must be personally guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was the case with Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and other acharyas. So the topic that I was assigned was the glories of the instructions that Lord Chaitanya gave Srila Rupa Goswami. And Madhya Leela chapter 19 deals with the instructions to Rupa Goswami given by Mahaprabhu. This chapter identifies the second meeting of Rupa Goswami with Mahaprabhu. When Rupa Goswami was serving the Emperor Hussein Shah, Alauddin Hussein Shah of Gaudadesh, Bengal. He was an emperor who had, he was originally a wazir, which means he was a viceroy. And he had toppled his king, who was Shahauddin, I think his name was Shahauddin. He was from Assyria, which is Ethiopia. So it was an Ethiopian king who was ruling, Muslim king, but from Ethiopia, a slave king. So in those days, the slaves were made kings of far-off lands. So the actual king sat in Turkey. And this slave was made a king from Ethiopia, Ethiopian. And he was ruling Gaudadesh. And he was toppled over by his wazir, his viceroy, which was Hussein Shah. And Hussein Shah himself was Turkish. But he was a master of Persian, Arabic. And in those days in Turkey, Persian was the language of the kings. So he employed two scholarly brothers of Chandagram. Chandagram was where his capital was. And those two brothers were Rupa and Sanatana. Rupa Goswami became, because of his ability to write, his ability to expand and explain in the most beautiful way, he was given the position Dabire Khas, which in Persian means, it's a title which means the most important secretary or private secretary. And his brother, older brother, who was older than him by 4 years, Sir Rupa Goswami appeared in 1485, 1 year prior to Mahaprabhu. And Sanatana Goswami appeared 4 years prior to him. So Sanatana was older than Rupa, and he was given in charge of the finance ministry. So he was given the title of, anyone knows? Sakar Malik. Malik in Persian means the Lord or the King. Sakar Malik means he who maintains the coffers of the king, who maintains the finances of the king. So he was the finance chief for Hussein Shah. And Hussein Shah was, like his predecessors, not very favorable towards other religions. And in Ramakeli, when Mahaprabhu went to Ramakeli, Mahaprabhu had accepted sannyas 4 years before that. So when Mahaprabhu was 28 years old, he reached Ramakeli and he met these brothers, Sanatana and Rup. And he ordered them, you should give up your service to the king. You should give up and you should go to Vrindavan. And Rupa and Anupam, Anupam is the youngest brother. Rupa and Anupam, they already left the service of the king, Hussein Shah. But Sanatana Goswami could not leave so easily. So Sanatana Goswami pretended to be unwell. And he stayed at home, and with about 20 Bhattacharya Brahmanas, he was discussing Bhagavad Katha. And one day Hussein Shah came there and he saw what was going on. And he said, without you, my kingdom will fall apart. Come back. Sanatana Goswami said, I'm not interested. And Sanatana Goswami also said that you are going to go to conquer Orissa. Your next big fight is going to be towards Orissa. You are going to fight against the king of Orissa, Gajapati Maharaj. And you are going to destroy his vision was, Hussain Shah's vision was that he wanted to destroy the Devata of Orissa, which is Jagannath Ji. So he wanted to capture Jagannath temple, loot it and destroy the deities. But as the Lord would have it, he did actually go. So what he did was he put Sanatana in prison. Rupa and Anupam escaped. And before they escaped, Rupa Goswami sent one of his men to find out when Mahaprabhu is going to leave for Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami's messengers came back and said Mahaprabhu has already left. So Rupa and Anupam, they both left and they met Mahaprabhu in Prayag in Chandpada. Sanatana Goswami was put in initially under house arrest, and then he was put in the prison. But Rupa Goswami had put aside 10,000 gold coins for Sanatana Goswami to use to escape. So he sent that message to Sanatana Goswami and said, you please escape. So Sanatana Goswami later escapes and meets Mahaprabhu in Kashi. Kashi is Varanasi. And Rupa Goswami meets Mahaprabhu in Prayag. During Mahaprabhu's time, it was called Prayag. Just about 40 years after Mahaprabhu's disappearance, the name of the city was changed to Allahabad. Allahabad means that which makes the city prosperous because of the mercy of Allah. That was the name which was changed. So our Srila Prabhupada, he appeared in that city, Allahabad. So we would like to go through the discussions that Mahaprabhu had with Srila Rupa Goswami in Allahabad, in Prayag. And that is the crux of this conversation today. So here it is said, this verse, and Srila Prabhupada explains very wonderfully, Shri Rupa Ridaye Prabhu Shakti Sancharilo. In the heart of Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu invested Sancharilo, invested all his Shakti. One is not able to preach or speak about Krishna unless Krishna has somehow invested himself in that person. This is empowerment. And because of that empowerment, what happened to Rupa Goswami? Sarva tattva nirupane prabina korilo. Sarva tattva nirupane. To explain all different tattvas. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, and rasa tattva. It is described, Mahaprabhu spoke on these three topics. Krishna tattva, bhakti tattva, and rasa tattva. And to be able to expand on those, Mahaprabhu made Rupa Goswami Prabina. Prabina means an expert. So Rupa Goswami was an expert. And Mahaprabhu had a special empowerment of Rupa Goswami. So much so that Rupa Goswami understood the heart of Mahaprabhu. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, some people have to be told what to do. Others, even after telling, they do not do, so they have to be told again. But then there is the highest category who don't need to be told. They understand the heart of their spiritual master. So the best disciple is he who understands the heart of his spiritual master and acts accordingly. So we see that in Srila Rupa Goswami. When we do our pranams to Srila Rupa Goswami, we say, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam. Whatever was the mood of Mahaprabhu, whatever was the desire of his heart, not Rupa Goswami's desire of Mahaprabhu, Manaha Abhishtam, which means desire. That was fulfilled by Rupa Goswami even without telling. Mahaprabhu would not even need to instruct. There is in Antya Leela, first chapter, there is a... this is Madhya Leela, so... So in Antya Leela, first chapter, there is a beautiful pastime where Mahaprabhu in Neelachal, when he is in Neelachal, he constantly recites a verse from Kavya Prakash. And the verse apparently is just a mundane verse. And then when Rupa Goswami hears the verse, he writes a second verse to embellish and expand on what Mahaprabhu is actually trying to say. And no one understands that verse other than Swarup Damodar, who's Lalita Sakhi himself. So he understands the verse, but nobody else does, other than Rupa Manjari, which is Srila Rupa Goswami. So at that episode, Mahaprabhu once goes to his hut and he finds thatched in the roof the verse, and he pulls out the verse and he's astonished how Rupa Goswami can understand his heart. So he goes to Swarup Damodar and he asks, how is it that he's able to understand my heart? Is this true? Mahaprabhu is asking Swarup Damodar. And Swarup Damodar answers, Mahaprabhu, you have given your special mercy to Rupa. So Rupa can understand your heart. And Rupa Goswami is the Abhideya Acharya. Mahaprabhu says all the Vedic scriptures can be divided into the understanding of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. And Sambandha Acharya is Sanatana Goswami, Abhideya Acharya is Srila Rupa Goswami, and Prayojana Acharya is Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. So the Abhideya Acharya, one who guides us on how to follow the path of Krishna consciousness, which is Abhideya, the Acharya of that is Srila Rupa Goswami. And because he understood the very heart of Mahaprabhu, he is the one that we follow and we call ourselves or claim to be Rupanugas, which means the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. So when Mahaprabhu met Rupa and Anupam in Prayag, Rupa and Anupam saw that the entire Prayag, the entire city of Allahabad, was full of chanting loudly. Hari, 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 Hari. Everywhere they went, they saw the devotees and even non-devotees were inspired to just dance and chant, and you know, the happiness around. When they experienced that, when they saw that, they felt that they were just completely useless. They have been serving this Mlecha king for so many years. Although not so many years, because Rupa Goswami was 31 years old when he met Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu was 28. So, according to material calculation anyway. So, yes, 29, next year, yes, 29. And Rupa Goswami would be, yeah, so 29. Mahaprabhu was 29 in Prayag. In Ramkeli, Mahaprabhu was 28 when they met, yes. So, They were staying back, Anupama and Rupa. They did not want to approach and disturb the crowd. But somehow, they were pushed ahead. And when they fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu, with grass in their mouth, Dante Trina Dhori, which means putting grass in the mouth. What is this concept of eating grass? Do you have to eat grass to show your humility? What is this concept? So it is said that there are many, many reasons given in Dharma Shastra, but one of the reasons given is that when one approaches the spiritual master, one is completely sealed or controlled in and completely surrendered with all one's senses. And the sense of tongue is the most difficult to control. So with grass between the teeth, I am here to listen to you, to surrender unto you. Please give me your shelter. With that mood, both the brothers, they fell. And this is the first time that the beautiful verse, Namo Maha Vadanyaya, Namo Maha Vadanyaya, actually, sometimes I also say it wrong. Vadanyaya means beautiful face, but this is not the meaning here. Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Vadanyaya means Varaka Danayate Iti Vadanyaya. Most magnificent Dan giver. Mahaprabhu, you are the most magnificent giver. Why are you the most magnificent giver? You give the best, the highest. Why? What do you give? Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Because you give Krishna Prema, which is the highest. This is Anupama and Rupa. The first verse they speak to Mahaprabhu at Prayag. And we chant that verse. Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaurat Vishe Namaha. So with that, those prayers, they were embraced by Mahaprabhu. Later on, Vallabh Bhatt of Idol Gram. Vallabh Bhatt is the same as Sripad Vallabhacharya of the Shuddha Advaita Sampradaya. He invited Mahaprabhu and Srila Rupa Goswami. Mahaprabhu introduced Rupa Goswami to Vallabhacharya. And Rupa Goswami and Vallabhacharya became lifelong friends. It is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Purva Vibhaga, in the Eastern Wave, how Rupa Goswami in one of the verses towards the end glorifies that the Marga of Raganuga Bhakti is famous by the name Pushti Marga, which is the Marg propagated by Vallabhacharya. So they became lifelong friends. After visiting the house of Vallabha, when Mahaprabhu went back to the city of Prayag along with Rupa, they wanted to spend time together, Mahaprabhu and Rupa. However, because there were so many people surrounding, Mahaprabhu took the hand of Rupa and took him to Dashashwamedha Ghat in Prayag. And there at the Dashashwamedha Ghat, for 10 days, Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami on three things. Anyone remembers the three things? Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva. And actually, all of Rupa Goswami's books can be categorized in these three. So if the first play that Rupa Goswami started to write, it was a long play, and then it's mentioned in Antya Leela. Srila Prabhupada describes how when he was passing the village of Satyabhama Gram, Satyabhama Devi appeared to Rupa Goswami in his heart, in his dream, and instructed this drama that you're writing about Krishna Tattva to establish the supremacy of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. This drama is so long, and you have mixed both the Vrindavan Leela and the Dwarka Leela. So please, I want my own drama. So So cut it into two. So you do the Dwarka Leela separate and the Vrindavan Leela separate. So the Vrindavan Leela drama is Vidagdha Madhava. Vidagdha means cunning. Madhava. Krishna who's cunning. That is the topic of Vidagdha Madhava. And the second is Lalita Madhava, which is Krishna in Dwarka. And if we look at Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the entire Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu summary in 2 minutes would be, it starts with the eastern wave, Purva Vibhag. Just like the sun rises in the east, the ocean of Bhakti, Sindhu, is described starting from the east. And then it goes down south, west, and ends with the north. So there are 4 vibhagas, 4 divisions. And each division has several lahiris. Lahiris are waves. So the first vibhag, the eastern ocean, describes bhakti, definition of bhakti, samanya bhakti, and the different characteristics of bhakti. The southern ocean describes the analysis of bhakti in terms of vibhav, anubhav, sthyayi bhav, vyabhichari bhav. And the western ocean describes, Govind Prabhu knows all this by heart. He's written a thesis on it. So the western ocean describes the mukhya rasas, and the northern ocean describes the gauna rasas ending with rasabhas. This in summary is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Bhakti and rasa, these two things is defined in this literature, which is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So everything that Rupa Goswami expanded was on Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva, Rasa Tattva. And then we see this verse, Shri Rupa Hridaye Prabhu Shakti Sancharilo Sarva Tattva Nirupane Prabhina Korilo. And in fact, Srila Kavi Karnapur sings a beautiful verse to glorify Rupa Goswami. This is such a beautiful verse. Even, you know, I think musicians like our Jayadeva Prabhu would love a verse like this. Because in this verse, there's a lot of alliteration, repetition of the same word. And the word that Kavi Karnapur repeats is the word Rupa. Because he glorifies Rupa Goswami. So the verse he composes, and he was only a little boy. And Mahaprabhu said, you're always quiet, Shivananda Sen's son. You're always quiet. Sing a beautiful poetry. And he's glorifying Rupa Goswami. He sang this poetry. He said, this is given in Madhya Leela. Priya Swarupe Daito Swarupe Prema Swarupe Sahajabhi Rupe Nijanu Rupe Prabhureka Rupe Tatana Rupe Swavilasa Rupe. So Rupe is mentioned 8 times in this verse. You can almost sing a song. Priya Swarupe Daita Swarupe. And when Kavi Karnapur actually sang this verse, Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was also so pleased. He said, because your kavita, your poetry, your song fills my ears and the ears of all those who hear with ecstasy. Karana, ears. Pura, to fill. Kavi, the poet. The poet who fills the ears with ecstasy. That is why his name was Kavi Karnapur. Swarup Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami gave that name to him. So this verse is beautiful, glorifying Rupa. It says, Priya Swarupe Daita Swarupe. Priya Swarupe, O Rupa, you are dear to Swarup Damodar. Daita Swarupe, you are dear to Mahaprabhu himself. Prema Swarupe, you are an embodiment of love. Sahajabhi Rupe, it has 2 meanings. Sahajabhi Rupe means you are full of knowledge about the principles of Siddhantas of bhakti. See, a devotee who is very knowledgeable is in the correct parlance, in the correct way, it's to say that devotee is very learned. Because mundane knowledge is very dry, it's useless. So instead of saying somebody is knowledgeable, when we refer to a devotee, we should say, oh, he's very learned. So here it is said he is very learned. Sahajabhi rupe, Rupa Goswami is extremely learned. Nijanu rupe, he is perfect follower of Mahaprabhu. Prabhu reka rupe, and Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, he gave his mercy to that one person. Tatana rupe, svavilasa rupe, and he is that Rupa Goswami who is able to expand on the philosophy of Mahaprabhu. So, that is the beautiful verse with which Kavi Karnapur glorifies Rupa Goswami. And it is then mentioned in Madhya Leela how Rupa Goswami would do Madhukari. Madhukari means, Madhukaraha is in Sanskrit, it means a bee. So Madhukari means just like a bee goes from one place to another, one flower to another, begging for nectar. Similarly, one who does Madhukari goes to 7 houses before midday and gets whatever they get, and that is what they subside themselves on. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they would do that. They would live under every day they would live under a separate tree, and they would go for Madhukari. And generally they would eat chana. Chana means dry chickpea and dry roti. That's all they would eat. And it is mentioned that they would sleep for 4 dandas. What is one danda? How much is one danda? This is a Vedic measure of time. One danda is 24 minutes. 2 dandas is 48 minutes. 4 dandas is 96 minutes, which is 1 hour and 36 minutes. Is the maximum that these two brothers would apparently sleep. It is said in Baldev Vidya Bhushan's commentary on the Vedanta Sutra that for a pure devotee, his eating, his sleeping, in fact, even his mutra visarjanam, even his passing urine is pure devotional service. So he says, for a pure devotee, everything is pure devotional service. Even mutra visarjanam, it is said. Anyway, so apparently they were sleeping 1 hour, 36 minutes. That's all. Even from a mundane point of view, they were engaged in chanting the names of Hari, excavating the places of pastimes of Krishna, and writing literatures for all of us. This was their dainika karma, daily activity. So, when Mahaprabhu met Rupa at Dashashwamedh Ghat, Mahaprabhu tells, it's mentioned in Madhya Leela, Prabhu kohe shuna rupa bhakti rasera lakshana. Prabhu kohe shuna rupa bhakti rasera lakshana. Please hear the characteristics of bhakti that I will describe to you. Sutra rupe kohi vistara na jai varnana. Sutra rupe kohi. I'm just going to tell you in essence, sutra, in the form of sutras, not in detail, because it is impossible to speak about all the details of bhakti rasa. So the question is, why is it impossible? So he says, Mahaprabhu says, para para shunya ghabhira bhakti rasa sindhu tomaya chakhita tare kohi eka bindu. Para para shunya ghabhira, para apara shunya ghabhira. Shunya ghabhira, shunya means zero, not possible to determine one end and the other end of this ocean of bhakti. You cannot determine. So how can I tell you everything? This is an infinite ocean. Bhakti rasa sindhu tomaya chakhita tare, just because I want you to taste it, kohi eko bindu, I'm going to tell you one drop of it. And it is that one drop that Rupa Goswami expands into all the literatures. So then Mahaprabhu says, now please listen carefully. Mahaprabhu starts by saying, there are 8.4 million species in this material world, according to the Vedic scriptures. According to the Padma Puran, these species have been differentiated, and we know how many each species is. Jalajan, Avalakshani, and so on. So, of the 8.4 million species, all the species are infinitesimally small jiva. The jiva's size is 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair. That small jiva. And that jiva in this world is divided into two types, Mahaprabhu says. Sthavaras and the jangamas. Sthavara means that which does not move, like the trees. And jangama, that which moves. Amongst the jangamas, there are three primary categories. The tiryak, which means that which flies. The jalachari, that which swims in the water, the aquatics. And sthalachari, that which walks on the land. Amongst the sthalacharis, there is manushya. There is human beings. Amongst those who walk on earth, they are human beings. Of these human beings also, most of them, Mahaprabhu says, are the likes of mlechas, bauddhas, and shabaras. Why is Mahaprabhu giving these specific words? The idea behind it is mlechas, the sinful, the generally sinful, shabara, the tribal, and bauddha, which means the atheist or the misguided. So generally amongst human society, generally Mahaprabhu says people are either sinful, misguided, or tribal. They have these tribal propensities. So amongst these, hardly you find some who are Veda Parayana, who understand the Vedas, or who have some nishtha on the Vedas. But then Mahaprabhu says, amongst those who have nishtha on the Vedas, half of them are only providing lip service. So you remove half of those who have faith in the Vedas, remove half of them. So you're left with the other half. Mahaprabhu says, the other half that we are left with are mostly karma nishtha. Karma nishtha means they believe in working hard so that they can go to higher planetary system. Now amongst the karma nishthas, out of 1 koti, 1 koti means 1 crore, 1 crore is 10 million. So out of 1 koti or 10 million karma nishthas, there is one jnani, one person who truly endeavors to know about Brahman. 10 million karmanishtas, there is one jnani. Amongst 10 million jnanis, there is one mukta, one person who is liberated. And Mahaprabhu says, amongst the 10 million muktas, there is one who is a Haribhakta. So we understand the rareness of being a Haribhakta. And then Mahaprabhu says, but even after becoming Haribhakta, one has to be very, very careful. Extremely careful. What does one have to be careful about? About aparadha. Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jiva. Some Bhagyavan Jiva, after going around the Brahmanda, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. By mercy of Guru and Krishna, this Jiva has got this Bhakti Lata Bija, the seed of Bhakti. Having attained the seed of Bhakti, this seed has to be implanted somewhere. Where is the seed to be implanted? in the heart. And who is the gardener? Mahaprabhu says the jiva himself is the gardener. He has to himself look after that seed very well. The seed, the soil for the seed is the heart. When the bija is implanted in the heart, it needs to be watered. And the waterer is Shravana Kirtana Adi. Shravan Kirtana, etc. The process of devotional service is the water with which you water the seed. And when this seed sprouts, ultimately it goes up through the Brahmalok, which is the highest in the material universe, penetrates through the Viraja River, which is a very interesting river because one of its bank is material, another is spiritual. It penetrates through the Viraja River, through the Vaikuntha Lokas, and reaches Goloka. And in Goloka, this creeper, this tender lata, takes shelter of a huge tree, a huge Kalpavriksha tree. What is that tree? Mahaprabhu says that tree is Krishna Charana. The lotus feet of the Lord is the shelter, tree-like shelter. And we can imagine a lata, a little creeper, by itself is very weak. So it takes shelter of the tree of the feet of Mahaprabhu. I'm saying Mahaprabhu, feet of Krishna is the same, Krishna Charanam. And this, when the creeper reaches Goloka, it then starts giving fruit. And the fruit is called Prema Phala, the love of Godhead. And then the gardener can start experiencing that fruit. However, there is a problem. There are three problems, Mahaprabhu says. The first problem is, while the gardener is tending to its little creeper, there is a mad elephant who is creating havoc around. And that mad elephant, Hathi, is Vaishnava Aparad. And that mad elephant can ruin the creeper completely, uproot it, and the creeper would die. And hence Mahaprabhu says one must guard, put a fence, avaranam, Mahaprabhu says, a fence around that lata so that the lata is protected from this mad elephant offense, Vaishnava Aparad, offending a devotee. Offense to a devotee completely ruins the tree. And then Mahaprabhu says, there is another problem. Sometimes from this lata comes out upashakhas. Upashakhas are secondary branches. And these branches are branches of mukti and bhukti. Desire to have mukti and bhukti. Desire to enjoy and desire to gain liberation. And these two should be chopped off. And then Mahaprabhu says, there are six other, please listen carefully, six other upashakhas which are extremely dangerous and one should guard against. And these are Nishidhachara Kutinati Jiba Himsana Labha Puja Pratishthadi Jata Upashakha Gana. These six. First is Nishidha Acharan. A devotee who is watering this lata. Imagine we are watering a plant and there are unwanted branches that are being grown. If we start watering, continue to water, actually the unwanted branches or even the weeds are also being watered and they will grow. And they may probably grow quicker and choke the plant. And these are the six upashakhas that one has to be aware of. The first is Nishiddhachar. Srila Prabhupada explains, Nishiddhachar means acting in a way which is forbidden. So breaking the four regulative principles, Srila Prabhupada says, is Nishiddhachar. Breaking the four regulative principles. If one breaks the four regulative principles and continues bhakti, one is actually going to end up developing material attachment. Second is kuti nati. Anyone knows this word, kuti nati? What it means? Huh? Deceitfulness. Can someone explain what kuti nati means? Yes. Diplomacy. Kuti nati, please listen carefully. It has two words, kuti and nati. Ku means bad. Na means to not accept or to say no. How the meaning is diplomacy as well and dupliciousness as well. How both meanings. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, ku means bad and na means not. So when one does not want to become bad in front of others, one becomes deceitful or diplomatic. Prabhupada says in the purport, one who is diplomatic cannot satisfy his soul. One of the lakshanas of a Vaishnava is saralta. Saralta means a Vaishnava is simple. Kuti nati also means criticism. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, kuti nati means a person who has a mania of cleanliness. He wants to go around and clean everything and everyone. He's bad. He's good. Ei bhalo, ei mondo. This is definition. Bengali, if you say. So he's good, he's bad. Oh, why is this going on in the temple? Somebody left this thing here. They don't understand her, you know. I have to, is, you know. Oh, you seem like an empowered personality. You have to say, you have to have a say in everything. So, this is kuti nati, criticism, blind criticism. No sense, no vinaya, no humility, and no viveka, no discrimination. Blindly criticize, kuti nati. Kuti nati means everything is bad, and those bad things should not be here. This actually chokes the lata. Next is jiva himsa. Srila Prabhupada says jiva himsa means to kill the living entity. Prabhupada says to give the education to a living entity on how to gratify one's senses is actually jiva himsa. Because you take that living entity away from Krishna, that is the real himsa. But Prabhupada also says animal killing is jiva himsa. Labha. Wanting to do devotional service for material profit. Oh, if I do bhakti, then I will make this gains, material gains. Anyway, we don't have much time, so I cannot go in the detail. The next two are puja and pratishtha. Puja means adoration. We want to be loved by everyone. I'm such a beautiful kirtaniya. I'm such a beautiful speaker. I look so amazing. My tilak is so wonderful. I walk in such a graceful manner. My dhoti is perfect, you know, whatever. Someone should say at least, you know, someone should appreciate me, labh. And puja. Pratishtha, shukarero bhishta, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says. So pratishtha means to want to be famous, to want to be known. Everyone should speak about me, know me. I must leave my mark. This six, if one has, and I will end here, Mahaprabhu says, Seko jolo pana upashakha bodhi jai. If you continue watering, continue devotional service, but do not cut these, then you actually increase these and the devotional creeper, stabdha hona mula shakha bodhita na pai. Your devotional creeper will not increase. You will not go anywhere. You may be chanting Hare Krishna, but you will not go anywhere. I'm not saying this. Prabhupada says this in the purport very clearly, loudly. Even chanting Hare Krishna would not lead you anywhere if we don't guard ourselves from these six. And finally, Mahaprabhu says, with this instruction I will finish. And please take this instruction to your heart. He says, Bhukti Mukti Adi Bancha. Desire for bhukti, desire for mukti, material gains, desire for liberation, having all these six that we just discussed in our heart, bhukti mukti adi bancha jodi mone hoy. If in the mind, if in the heart you have these, sadhana korile prema utpanna na hoy. Sadhana korile, even though you are doing sadhana, prema utpanna na hoy. I think it is explanatory, self-explanatory. Huh? Even if you do sadhana, no prema will ever come. So beautiful. We want prema, Krishna prema. So we have to guard against these six. Okay, I think we have to stop now. I'm very sorry I went over by 4 minutes. No time for questions, I guess. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai.